For the past 2 weeks, we've heard parables of the kingdom of heaven from Matthew 13, and they've been kind of earthy images. 2 weeks ago, Joe preached on the parable of the sower and the different kinds of soil. And last week, John preached on the parable of the wheat and the weeds. They're very, again, like earth, you know, pardon the pun, earthy, grounded sorts of things. And these parables are preached or taught in an amphitheater of creation. With Jesus, with crowds before him on the land, he got into a boat on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, so he had the sea behind him and the land filled with people ahead of him. It's a very just rich setting to speak about the kingdom of heaven, both earth and the sea and the heavens. So in our earthy setting, with cars driving by and wooden pews and sweat and perhaps being a little restless, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. How do you respond to compliments about material things? So like if someone says, I like your shirt, that's a nice shirt. Or I like your shoes. Or I like your car. Or you have a beautiful queue. Or any number of things. Some of you might just say, thank you. In Minnesota, there's a good chance that people might say, what? I got it on sale. Or it's used. Or I found it on Facebook Marketplace. Look, it's damaged. Or the ultimate humble brag, it was free. I've got a free buy nothing group in my neighborhood, which interestingly, I was looking into, there's like trademark disputes within the buy nothing community for the free community. That's strange. Now, I'm sometimes guilty of these kinds of humble brags, if it was on sale or sort of denigrating what I have. And I think in Minnesota, maybe in a Midwestern sense, it does reflect our culture of thriftiness and good stewardship, not wanting to be materialistic, or at least not wanting to be perceived as materialistic, finding the very best deal, and being someone where it's like, well, they never pay full price. Now, what kind of reaction, if you were to say, you know, I like your shirt, be like, I spent everything that I have on this shirt. What kind of reaction could you expect for any number of things? I spent all that I had on it. Or even worse, I maxed out my credit cards on it. Or I mortgaged my house. How countercultural and even, I think, in a lot of ways, questionable on the prudence of people to act as though money doesn't matter in a conventional sense. How countercultural that is, that money doesn't matter in a conventional sense. But these parables today ask us to imagine something so precious that its value is incomparable and makes money not matter at all in a conventional sense, that it is worth everything to acquire it. And if money doesn't matter, what you acquire becomes the new measure of value. If money doesn't matter, what you acquire becomes the new measure of all other value. So today's parables in the of the kingdom in Matthew focus on the incomparably precious and transformative value of the kingdom of heaven. And they're parables that teach about the true measure of worth and preciousness and urgency from different vantage points. First, we have the parable of the mustard seed. And it's in that same kind of vein, consistent with the parable of the sower and the wheat and the tares and the weeds. Jesus compared the kingdom to a seed, a mustard seed. The smallest of seeds, but potent and glorious when it's buried and seemingly dies and takes life. And its growth isn't just for the benefit of itself, but for everything under its shade. Similarly, like leaven in measure of oil, of flour, the kingdom of heaven is a transformative presence in the midst of a much larger context that seems to, in some ways, be swallowing it up. That like leaven, the kingdom of heaven grows in the hearts of those who are of the kingdom by the power of the Spirit and glorifies us into the image of the Son, Jesus. And similarly, in the world, like leaven, the people of God are ambassadors of the kingdom to come in the midst of a kingdom that is passing away, whatever the spheres that God has put you in. Jesus then compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in the field. And these next two are interesting because, again, there's a setting of the land or of the sea, and we have two parables that are in that same or similar context, related context. Of the land would remind the people of God, the children of Abraham, of the promise of the land, that they were the object of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. The kingdom is a presence that is more precious than everything else, so precious that it is a joy to liquidate everything else in order to receive it or to acquire it. And liquidate everything else, offer all of life. Jesus shares the parable of a merchant who finds a pearl of great value. And pay attention again that the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant. The pearl is in the story, but the merchant is this example. A merchant who seeks treasure of the sea, which would be, I think, understood as an allusion to the Gentiles and to the nations. A merchant who, upon finding this one incomparable pearl, liquidates everything in order they might have this one treasure above all things. Which then makes you stand back and say, is this person really a merchant anymore if they have one thing that was worth everything? And I think this is an image of how the Gentiles and all the nations are called to forsake all other gods for Yahweh, the one true God. And finally, Jesus shares that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that gathers all manner of fish together, and then they will be judged, the good and the bad. As the true measure of what is good and true and beautiful, everyone will one day be drawn into the kingdom of heaven or under its rule, but some unto blessing and others unto judgment. The kingdom of heaven is compared to all these earthy or of the sea common experiences of life because ordinary life is transformed by this new kingdom of heaven, this new kingdom that defines all new measures of value and of preciousness and of beauty. In 1 Kings, when God appears to King Solomon in a dream, Solomon asks God for understanding and judgment to discern between good and evil. This one thing that money cannot buy. And as Solomon remembered the steadfast love of God that he had shown to David, his father, he sought the Lord's help. Sought the Lord's help not merely for his own benefit that he would flourish, but for the sake of the people that God had entrusted to his care and to his rule. In this recognition of humility, Solomon saw the people were too numerous. The task of ruling God's people, God's righteous judgment, this plex for one man's judgment. And by seeking God's righteous judgment, this thing that could not be purchased, God blessed him and all those under his rule with long life and incomparable riches and the submission of all the nations. These were all given while Solomon and the people loved the Lord and followed him. That while Solomon loved the Lord, he and the people of Israel were established like a tree, like a fruitful tree that gave peace and prosperity to all around them. But when Solomon turned from the Lord and forgot the Lord and practiced evil, he and his sons and the nations suffered terrible loss and division and violence. The kingdom of heaven is incomparably precious and transformative and creates a whole new measure of worth and goodness. The kingdom of heaven is not a good or a service that can be negotiated or acquired at a discount. It's not merely a promise to go to heaven when we die, but it is the very life of God offered to us today that we might take and walk in the newness of life already. It's something so incomparably precious and transformative that our hopes, our desires, our morality, our priorities become radically redefined by it. It's a kingdom in which, by God's judgment, billionaires can be among the most impoverished and the poor seated with kings. This doesn't mean that material riches are worthless. God made Solomon wise, and in his wisdom, in that prudence and wise stewardship, he became very wealthy, and many were blessed by him. But it does mean that material things are not an end in and of themselves. That in service of the kingdom, we offer our life and our breath and everything else through joy and through suffering, that we may know Jesus Christ and be found in him, that he is more precious than all, and his kingdom is more precious than all. I've had experiences with that as a congregation. You probably know where this is going, some of you. In our search for a building as a congregation, we met a man who offered us an interest, who, when he knew of our church's desire to purchase a building, offered us an interest-free loan, a very significant, very large interest-free loan, basically saying, whatever you need to borrow, you can borrow from me interest-free. And in the course of visiting with him, just to kind of keep him updated on our search for places, he told me of how I'm good at making money, but I don't much care for it, which was proven by his sweatpants and his orthopedic shoes and his sort of dirty sweatshirts. He didn't really care for, like, outside things. But what he did care about was giving generously, and it gave him great joy to do so. That he talked about how in his work as a property developer, he would invite missionaries and pastors and teachers or anyone who he thought deserving but in need to join in partnerships with him at a significant discount so that when the project was done, they would benefit tenfold. And he shared with, like, you know, mist in his eyes and a huge smile on his face about how people shared with him, you know, of all the things he accomplished, the ways that with the resources that the Lord had entrusted to him, people were able to pay for college and down payments for homes, braces for their kids' teeth. He was so joyful in giving of what God had entrusted to him. And likewise, many of you have given faithfully to this church, to our building fund, in all sorts of ways and in all sorts of sizes, conventionally large or conventionally small, but all of them offered with a full and a giving heart, giving sacrificially and freely and joyfully. And in the end, when we had these funds raised, thinking that this was the path in which the Lord would help us provide a building, buying something on the open market, our congregation was given this building by the congregation here before, Christians who outdid us in doing good by giving this building to us, that we might be a faithful presence in this neighborhood. These are very clear examples of how transformative the kingdom of heaven is, how incomparably precious it is, worth more than gold and much fine gold, its joys and desires, security for if God is for us, who can be against us, worth our greatest joys and desires and aspirations. God isn't waiting to drop the hammer on us. He has justified us in Christ. He doesn't condemn us, for Jesus himself intercedes for us at the right hand of God. God isn't capricious that we might be afraid that he would just change his mind. He gave his own son. He will surely give us all things. And he has given us the Spirit to help us in our scarcity of resources and the scarcity of our wisdom and holiness, to lead us into God's will and mind, and to transform us, children of Adam and Eve, into people in the image of his son, Jesus. So in your earthy setting, on your hard pew with sweat running down your forehead, whatever you have ahead of you in the coming week, seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. God shall give you the incomparably precious gift of his kingdom, a kingdom which cannot be shaken, it cannot be stolen, that is surely coming. Love the Lord your God above all things. You shall be blessed, and we shall be like a faithful tree and fruitful tree that brings peace and blessing and shade to all those around us, whose leaves are of this tree are for the healing of Frogtown and of the city and of the state and of our nation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.